Today's Trout Show is sponsored by David Smith of Edward Jones. David helps people achieve their goals and make sense of investing and be treated like the individual you are. David stays focused on what's most important. That's you. So call David now at 469-372-1587 for complete details. That's 469-372-1587. David Smith with Edward Jones. Everybody, it's the Trout. Hope you're having a great day. I know I am because I started out with some blues. A little BB King action there for you. And so today we have an up-and-coming, wonderful blues artist named Lauren Anderson. She hails out of Chicago. She's a singer-songwriter, and she loves to play the blues. But that wasn't all where she started at. She started as a kid. She wanted to be a singer, play piano, be an opera singer. And then she got a degree in music, and she became a music therapist for children. But something was gnawing down in Lauren's, well, down in her soul, and she said, enough of that, I want to sing and play blues all the time. And so that's what she talks about on today's show. I think you'll enjoy it because not everybody loves the blues, not everybody understands the blues, but we always get the blues, don't we, every once in a while. So up next, Lauren Anderson, blues singer, songwriter, even a guitarist, singing the blues for you and me. That's next on The Trout Show.
Take my loving on the rocks. Sip on it slowly. Don't rush it. Ain't no shot. I like my man like a fine wine. I take my loving with someone who knows how to take his time.
Thing that I liked about you was obviously, well, not obviously to people. I'm a blues guy. I love blues music. But your story is so unique from the standpoint that you grew up, and I kind of let you tell it, but the fact that you started playing classical music, you went through all this gyration, and you can talk about what you did and all that stuff. Hope you don't get bored telling about it. But and then you said, okay, I have a degree in music. I'm doing a music therapy for kids. But I'm just going to throw all that away and become a blues singer. That's kind of the short, that's the short version of your life. And you grew up in Chicago, which of course you'd been surrounded by Chicago blues. I noticed that you're a Bonnie Raitt fan and Tedeschi mm-hmm. Trucks and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And so let's go from the very beginning. You grew up in Chicago and take it from there, Lauren. What happens?
Okay. I'll try not to go into too much detail since it's been a
I'm not a spring chicken anymore.
Yeah. But I've always been singing. Can't remember a time that I didn't want to sing. And was in every choir, you know, I could find ever through college basically. And so you know, I played piano when I was in high school, you know, and basically sang wherever I could. And in college, I wanted to go and got an opera degree because for a second I was when I was in high school, I took lessons for the first time, like private voice lessons, and it was classical. And I really loved it. I still really do. But so I went to college and I have this moment where like you know, at that time I still loved like blues and rock and pop music, but I was going to be an opera performer. So, but I had this moment where I was in the library with a bunch of other opera majors and they were all talking about like their favorite opera or their favorite aria. And I just had this moment where I was just like, I don't have that. I don't have a favorite opera. Like, I don't feel like I fit in here. I don't think this is where I should be, but I am stubborn to a fault and I don't like quitting things. And I didn't know what else to do. So I finished the degree, you know, and I don't think, you know, I think that that was probably a good thing for me because it gave me some time to figure it out. And, you know, and I feel like I learned a lot of tools singing wise from opera, you know.
Oh, absolutely. The whole skill set is all about diaphragm and all that
projecting
stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I, at the end of college, I learned about music therapy. And so I went to KU for my master's and got a degree in music therapy and lived in Kansas City for a while after that and worked on a pediatric unit with a bunch of kids. Basically, like my role in the hospital was to help kids cope with chronic illnesses.
Was that at a hospital or was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, on a pediatric unit, so inpatient kids.
So which hospital were you located at?
KU, the University
So you at KU, okay. Yeah, I was wondering. KU Med, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I worked there for a while and, you know, at that point I started to kind of, I always knew that at some point I wanted to perform, but I always was like, I'm not ready. Like I definitely didn't have the confidence when I was younger. Yeah. You know, and it was just like, I always had an excuse of why I shouldn't do it yet. Yeah. And finally I got to KU I started working full time and I was like, okay, Lauren, it's now or never. You're not getting any younger. Nobody is going to give you this career. You know, it's not going to just fall in your lap because somebody hears you sing. You have to put the work in. And so I started just like, I didn't know anything about being a musician. I didn't have any musician friends. So I started looking for blues jams. I started playing at every coffee shop I could get a gig at. The first regular gig I got was at a Bar Louie downtown Kansas City. And it was a terrible gig because it's a Bar Louie, you know, you get a decent paycheck and you get a free meal, but nobody cares. They're just there to eat.
They're not paying attention to you.
Right. Yeah. But you know, I think through those gigs, I learned a lot of new cover songs and I learned how to like pull in a crowd that didn't care at all.
That's
and
tough.
So, yeah, you know, but I think that's a needed skill for any musician. And so, so from there, I went to more blues jams and I remember one of the first ones that I went to, I walked in and it was in this like podunk, like suburb of Kansas City. Like there were five people there and two of the people that were there were Samantha Fish and Chris Shevlin.
Samantha Fish was there?
Fish was there. This was back when she was living in Kansas City and dating Chris Shevlin. RIP. Well,
I didn't know she lived in Kansas City. I'd love to talk to her, but you know, she's on tour all the time. Anyway,
I mean, she's so busy. Yeah. So she's from Kansas City. I remember just being like, I was with friends and I was like freaking out. Cause I'm like, oh my God, these huge blues people are here. And it's just little old me. And my friends were like, I don't know who these people are.
Why? They don't know. Yeah. They don't have a clue. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and I remember I had to go up right after Samantha went up. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you know, little baby Lauren, I wasn't that young, but I was new. I wasn't used to this stuff.
So was she already well known at that point?
She was, I mean, yeah.
Known
she
in
was,
Kansas well, City, probably, yeah.
In Kansas City, for sure. I mean, obviously she's made like so much waves, you know, since then. But yeah, she was pretty well known.
So you had to follow her on stage.
I had to follow her on stage.
And you're not going to rip out your Stratocaster and play like she is.
No,
I'm just going to come up and say, yeah.
Exactly. So I remember having this mental talk to myself being like, Lauren, this is what you want to do. Put your big girl pants on and get up there. And I did. And she nicely came up to me afterwards and was like, you did a great job. And I chatted with her and, you know, and then Chris actually, at the time, Trampled Underfoot was about to kind of go their separate ways and he was looking for new acts to play with. And so he messaged me after that jam and said, hey, I'm looking for people to play with. Do you need a drummer? And I said, hell yeah, I do. Wow. So Chris Schneblin was my first drummer. And honestly, I owe a lot of how I got started to him. You know, it's a shame, you know, RIP Chris, he was just a great guy. But I really do, like, he sat down and he gave me names and he told me how to contact venues. And Samantha helped a lot too, honestly. Really a lot of, there were a lot of people in the Kansas City blues scene that kind of helped me figure it out, you know? And so from there, I put together a band, and eventually Chris, I think, got picked up by Albert Castilla, as he should be. And, you know, so I found another drummer, but stayed in contact with Chris. Anyway, so I started kind of touring on the weekends while working full time.
And so it just got you're to still be doing much. The music therapy. You're still doing that at KU Med. Yeah. And then you're doing the gigs on the weekend.
Yeah.
How far did you travel?
I mean,
did you go like to Sedalia or to Omaha, or I mean, did you go that far?
Yeah, we went there, Chicago.
Oh wow, you did travel.
Yeah, I think the farthest we went was like a one-off in Winter Park, Colorado, but that was just like one show. But that was like a 12-hour drive.
I know that drive.
I know that. So
drive.
We were kind of circling, you know, the area, but you can only go so far on a weekend, you know, especially all of my band members also had full-time jobs. And so all of us could only take off so much time. And so it just kind of eventually got to the point where I was kind of, you know, I love Kansas City, but I was kind of ready for a new chapter. And I wanted to kind of really dig into trying to be a musician. And, you know, and I can always go back to music therapy if I want to, and I could still advocate for the profession. And it's
gotta be very rewarding, that working with kids. It's probably just disheartening to a certain degree, probably too, but it also
it's a little bit of both. Yeah, for sure. It's a little bit of both. And I think that no matter how great of a job you have, it will not be fulfilling if there's something else in your heart that it's pulling you to do, you know? Yep. And it got to the point where the more I put off my music career, the louder that little voice in my head was, and I just couldn't ignore it. Even though I still had all these reasons that I didn't know I wasn't ready, you know, cause you always do.
Yeah.
And so in 2017, I said goodbye to everybody and I moved to Nashville. And I've been here since then now. So that's
an interesting thing, because Nashville is not the blues capital of the world.
No, it's not. It's
but there's a lot of music there.
There's a lot of music here. Yeah. You know, I think it was one of those things where I wasn't sure where I needed to be. And I knew that I'd regret it if I didn't check out Nashville.
No, I understand. You
know? Yeah. So like, I don't know that I'll be here for forever. I don't know. I don't have any reason to move as of right now.
You're comfortable right now. You're good to go.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? I just want to tell you this real quick. A lot of people I interview and talk to take a chance, which they perceive as a chance. And something happens somewhere on the line or across the, I mean, if you'd gone and walked in and said, oh my God, Samantha Fish, I'm not hanging out here unless she's going to be after me. You could have just said, okay, I'm out of here. You know, it's like an open mic night. You turn around and go out or go, no, I'm not here to play. I'm just here to watch. But you didn't do that. And look what it led to. I mean, if you hadn't taken that little thing in your head, saying you better do this. And there was a reason why.
Yeah, I agree. I think that opportunities happen after you cross the line of fear. You know, you got to go over that though, to kind of open this new world of opportunities. And it's hard to do.
Theme that a lot of people I talk to, always have music in their life from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Well, I was 4 and I did this, or I was 6 or I went that. And then of course down a lot of people, like the people I just had through interview that are on AGT, it's all about church. I grew up in a church and play, you know, I sang a singer. Mm-hmm. My dad was a minister. That theme. And then if you talk to people over in, I've talked to Australia, London, India. Well, I started when I was 6 and I really got, and you kind of, excuse me, you just kind of do the same thing. And that is, once it's in you, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you get to do what you want to do. You know, you're in a genre that I love, but not everybody likes it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also think, Lauren, that the biggest thing that's happening, and I think that we're having in the blues genre, is all the players are gone. They're almost gone. Buddy Guy's still alive. But when you start talking about the iconic players, they're not with us anymore. Yeah. And so people like yourself and other players and are going to have to continue doing that genre music. Yeah. And the difference between us, me and you, is we didn't grow up in Southern Mississippi chopping cotton or playing in some, you know, joint, you know, to do it. We don't have those stories.
Right.
You have the story of like, and you know, it used to be when you heard blues music, I always think, oh, they have to have a miserable life and all that stuff. Well, your life hasn't been so bad. You got a master's degree in music.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, why can't I sing the blues? So you kind of have that challenge in your life, in my opinion, to take that mantle on and carry it up the hill.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I do, and I'm going to continue to do it. So the band that you have now, how long have they been with you?
Well, so, you know.
Or do you have a band now? I mean, I watch the videos, but
So, you know, the funny thing about Nashville is that there's so many great players, right, and there's so many great artists. So I have my first calls, second call. I have a pool of artists.
Cool.
And basically, you know, if one person's not available, I have other people I call. And so I have my first calls, and my first calls I've been with for several years now. You know, but at this point, you know, it's Nashville and a lot of players are getting picked up by nationally touring country artists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities in Nashville for players. And so, you know, my band is constantly evolving and, you know, and I'm constantly trying to find the positive in that.
Well, but, yeah, I can understand both sides of it.
I've noticed since moving here that bands aren't as like, unless it's like a band, like the Beatles, you know, and it's equal parts, but artists are constantly hiring new members for whatever run or gig they have in Nashville, especially. But the guys that my bass player especially has been on every single record of mine since I've moved here. So, you know, he's been with me since I moved here. Hutch is his name. So, you know, that being said, I still have like OG players that, you know, when they're free, I want to play with them.
It's like kind of being an actor. You go to a movie, make a movie, and then you never see that crew again, you know, it's kind of like that. And I never thought of it like that, but you know, I guess that's the way it is anymore. But I would assume that your knowledge and your teaching in your music has probably helped you become a better artist, even what you're playing now, because you know, technique, not only technique, you know, fundamentals, you know, how music works. And 1/4 or 1/5 is more than 1/4 or 1/5, and you know, whatever, and you can do it and throw some arias, Ness and Dorma in there once in a while.
Yeah.
sing a little Ness and Dorma for him. Yeah. What's that? It's the blues version of Ness and Dorma. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I know more than like the average singer, but there are some player, man, there's a lot that I don't know, especially, you know, a lot of the players I play with, man, they are masters of their instrument and
that's okay. It makes you better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, but there's conversations they'll have in the van and I'm just like, I'm a listen to this podcast. You guys are on another plane. I don't know what you're talking about,
but that's because they've been playing a long time.
Exactly. That's why they're great. You know?
And so much of that is when you play a long time and you have years behind your belt, it's different, because if you're really that good, and I was just in muscle shows a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of like Nashville, of course it's only two hours down, but everybody's a good player. But there are no egos. You don't see people getting up, and I mean, from what I saw and performing,
I think the egos get shoved aside pretty quickly, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
I mean, because it wasn't like, oh hey, I can play, let me play lead break, or hey, I'll play, you know, it wasn't like I can play it better than you. It was more like, let's just have fun playing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a community spirit, and I really liked it a lot. And you know, I think Nashville obviously is a music capital for a lot of people. You go down, what's that, Broadway? What's the, is it, what
Broadway,
street is
yeah.
Broadway that all the music, all the bars are on, and everybody's always talking
Yeah.
about, oh, I was in so-and-so's bar. And I go, does every A-list Nashville singer, or they all have their own bar?
Country,
Apparently, that,
yeah,
yeah, they
every, yeah.
all the country guys and
Yep.
women.
Yep.
And
Yeah.
so you got your band, and then this song I just heard, I just listened to it again. What's the one that you just put out not too long ago?
Are you talking Zombie Blues
No.
or the album Love on the Rocks?
It's the song Love on the Rocks, isn't it? Is there a song
Yeah.
called Love? Yeah.
Yeah, there's yeah, that was the title track off of my album from last year that came out in
Okay.
August.
I
Yeah.
was watching on YouTube.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
So what are you
Yeah,
doing between, I mean, you're trying to book the rest of the year out? Is that what your goal is? What do you have for next year? Have you already thought about where you're going to go in next year? What you're going to do?
Oh, you know, I mean, I'd like to kind of break into some new cities next year. I actually just before we hopped on this call, was working on booking. So,
This year, you got a few more gigs this year. And then are you going back? I know. Are you always writing? Or do you just tell me a little bit about your writing style? I mean, is a lot of the stuff you do is your own stuff that you perform?
yes, yeah,
Okay.
I do some co-writes, but then most of the stuff on like this next album coming out next month,
What's it titled?
Burn It All Down.
Okay.
And most of those songs except for one are all written by me. And so I haven't written a song recently because I've been so focused on booking tours and, you know, and releasing this album, but you know, I'll periodically get ideas, or just this morning I got, you know, another song, you know, concept, like a, you know, or I'll get a melody idea and I kind of have a place where I record all of those. And then usually what I do is like for this album that's about to come out last October, I make myself a little songwriting challenge and I write a song every day for, you know, a couple weeks. And most of those songs are terrible, but it kind of takes the pressure off of writing a great song, you know, because you just, I don't care what it sounds like, just write a song every day. And then you end up, if you do that for a month, you've got 30 songs and you can cut out half of those and there's an album, you know? And so that's usually what I do.
That's
But
kind of cool.
I haven't done that in a second.
Then you take it to the band and go, this is how do you present it to the band?
Yeah. So, you know,
Your
once
band,
I,
it's your band, obviously. Yeah.
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 So, you know, once I write everything, I kind of edit everything, I collect which ones I'd like. And then I, you know, call on whoever I want on the album. We get together and run through everything. And then I get some band tapes that I can listen to and kind of tweak things. Because this was self-produced, this album. But that being said, it wasn't just me, you know, like it was a lot of ideas came from my guys, and a lot of ideas also came from the engineer, who mixed and mastered, Taylor Leonardo. Like it was a collaborative kind of group self-produced thing, you know,
Sure.
because I don't know, you know, I think that these guys, they're the masters of their instruments. They know a lot more about what they're doing than
Yeah.
I have a, you know, an idea, but they might have a better one. And so I bring it to them and then we get a date on the books and we go knock out all the songs and then bing, bang, boom. You know?
Then you go out and do something to back it up and say, here's my new album and all that good
Exactly,
stuff.
yeah.
So what's the biggest crowd you've ever had the opportunity to play for? If you ever played at a big venue or anything that's had two or three thousand
Yeah.
people?
I think maybe the biggest was about 2,000. Right before
Pretty
I
good
moved
size.
here. Yeah, oh yeah. Right before I moved here, I got a chance to open for Beth Hart at Uptown Theater in
I
Kansas
know.
City.
That's a
And
great venue.
it's
I'm
a
glad
great
it's still there.
venue.
It's a great place to
And
hear about.
I'm such a big fan of Beth Hart. And so I got to open for her and I would love to do that again. Let's put that in the universe. Hey, Beth Hart.
So, out of all the people that are still alive in the blues industry, who would you love to meet and talk at, sit down and talk to?
Oh God, that's hard to narrow that down.
Well, even
I mean,
give me two or three.
yeah, I mean, I think that the three that first come to mind are Grace Potter, who I know isn't like she started more bluesy than she is now, but I love Grace Potter. She is such a great performer. Susan Tedeschi, obviously, I love her. And Bonnie Raitt, man, she just like, you know, I'm reading a biography on her right now, and unfortunately, it's not autobiography. I get the impression that she's kept most of the details of her life close, as she has the right to do.
Yeah.
But she's just done, she's broken so many boundaries. I just want to know more. I just want to sit down and have a conversation with her and be like, I feel like I'm following in your footsteps just like years later. Like, tell me how you did this. I want to know more. So again, Bonnie Raitt, where are you at?
And when did you start playing guitar?
In college. So I was a little bit of a late bloomer, but I've been playing for a while now. Yeah.
And I can see that because you, if you're standing over there in your first gig and going, what key is this in? Oh, she's playing in B. Okay, I got
right.
it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They can, or, you know, if somebody gets a little off, you know, and they're on the bridge when we're on the chorus, they just have to listen to what I'm playing. Unless I am playing the wrong thing, which also happens. I'm not perfect.
So have you ever had this happen to you? You go up and it's your song and you forget what it is. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And your band reminds you that it's your song and you wrote it?
not often, but, you know, at this point, I have written a lot of songs. In fact, I think my drummer is starting to get a little like, Lauren, this is too many originals. He's like, I need to narrow down which songs we're playing on which gig, which is fair. And so every once in a while, somebody will, actually, we were up in Nebraska last month playing, and somebody requested a song that I released in 2018. I haven't played that in a while. And I like, luckily it was while we were setting up. So I sent the recording to everybody, and I also had to review it because I was like, how does this song go again? And you know, my band is just, they were so great. They listened to it. I sent them the chart and we nailed it.
You know, I think you got a great career ahead of you, kiddo. I look forward to hearing more about you. I just want to tell you, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure talking to you. I wish you the best in your career.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Trout Show. For more information, visit our website at thetroutshow.com. Until next time, see ya.